/blue campaign.
96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Big budget issues, property taxes, crime, and more. We're talking all things Prince George's County tonight with County Council Chairman Mel Franklin. If you have a question about what's going on in Prince George's County, now is the time to ask or share your thoughts. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Mr. Franklin, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Harold, I really appreciate being here. Always good.
Okay, so let's go right to the big issue happening literally last week. The county council passed a property tax increase along with this $2.95 billion budget. Not what the county executive asked for the first time, of 15.6%, not the 7% that he asked for the day before the vote, but instead a 4%. First of all, where did the 4% come from, sure, and what impact do you think that's going to have on property owners?
Sure. So this was needless to say, this was a very challenging budget process. It involved us doing countless numbers of town halls, public meetings, really listening to our constituents about the direction of the county. We appreciated the county executive's proposal. We ultimately concluded it wasn't affordable, that a 15.6% increase in property taxes was way too much for working families in the county. We looked at what are some of the things that are driving our fiscal problems in the county. One of the things that's driving it is when we get these unfunded mandates, these requirements from the state to fund things without the money to do it. So in 2012, the state basically said to a lot of the counties, you're going to start picking up teacher pension costs that the state was picking up. And this year, that's to the tune of about $30 million. Next year, that'll jump to $42 million. That really was the basis of the law that gave the county executive the authority to go above the property tax cap. We on the council felt that that made the most sense in terms of targeting what would be the right amount. That was where the 4% number came from. We also believe that was much more of a measured investment, much more of an affordable decision.
Well, I guess my question is, was that just an arbitrary number? Did somebody say, well, are we going to do 4? Are we going to do 5? Are we going to do 3? How did you come up with 4?
Well, again, it's tied to the teacher pension cost. So this year, it's about $30 million. Mm-hmm. If you look at the 4% increase in combination with the other increases, it covers that cost.
So you figured this is how much money we need, and this is what the number will be.
Right, and then next year it jumps up to $42 million. So we believe that was the only fair basis to move forward, particularly because as we went out to the community and talked about the tax proposal, the 15%, and talked about education and talked about some of the issues, we were met with a wall of sort of lack of confidence, a wall of residents basically feeling like the money that they're already paying in taxes isn't being well spent, and that sort of crisis of confidence made us sort of take a second look at how we're doing or how we're operating county government. So the county council decided in the same budget to push forward with the first performance audit for the Prince George's County Public Schools in 18 years to try to create more confidence in how the dollars of residents are being spent.
I want to talk more about that, but the phones are already lining up, the phone calls, and I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to hear from our listeners. But I do want to talk to you about that in the Blue Ribbon panel as well, and what comes along with that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Lisa calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you, Mr.
Hi,
Fisher and Mr. Chairman. I have two quick questions, the first of which is, I am a resident of Bowie, Mm-hmm. And there is a crisis of confidence with the money that is not being seen as managed properly. We've been Prince George's County residents for well over 20 years, and we feel the need to spend additional money to send our children to school outside of the county. In addition, the county wants an additional 4% when a lot of homes were in foreclosure and people have just modified loans to yet have to pay more on their mortgage every month with this 4% increase.
So, Lisa, real quick, you said you had two questions. What are your questions?
Secondly, with all of the casinos that seem to be opening up, how are those funds being streamlined into the county, as well as the county trying to force feed big box stores like Walmart into small residential areas?
Okay. So to your first point, Lisa, and I can definitely relate to your story. My household, my wife and I made the decision to go public school, but we had to make a tough choice there about whether to send our child to private school. We're very happy with our choice, but I totally recognize that a number of parents had to make it and feel like they had to make a different choice. The 4% is basically tied to, unfortunately, what we have to do sometimes as counties when we're meeting mandates that come from a government above us. In this instance, it's the state of Maryland. We thought that was a fairly large reduction from the proposed 15.6% increase. We also believed that a lot of the other measures we were going to put in place would in the future create more confidence in how people's existing dollars are being spent. To the gaming point, we presented legislation as we adopted the budget that would require that at least half of the gaming money from MGM National Harbor has to go to education. One of the things we heard over and over and over again was residents in years past were repeatedly told, first the lottery was supposed to resolve the education issues. Next, they were told, gaming. And now
so
the tax
when is
increase.
That going to happen?
So the MGM National Harbor project is scheduled to be complete in the fall of 2016. So during that fiscal year, half of that revenue, if this law passes, half of that revenue would be dedicated to education. That's to create more accountability. One of the themes we've been pushing with this budget that we just adopted was fiscal accountability, a government that lives within its means. One of the things you're going to hear a lot of in the next year is the issue of structural deficit. That's just a fancy way of saying the government's spending more money than it has on an annual basis. We recognize that. If we were a household, it would be the equivalent of spending too much money and dipping into your savings every month. Mm-hmm. That's not sustainable. So what we decided to do as a council, create a Blue Ribbon Commission to not only study the structural deficit, but also tell each agency, set aside 2% of your budgets as a check against overspending so that we don't continue to find ourselves in the same fiscal crisis year after year after year.
Okay, real quick, Raymond calling from Upper Marlboro. What's your question? We may have to answer it after the break, but go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, evening, everybody. Thank you for taking my call. Mr. Franklin, I really appreciate the job you've been doing in the county.
Thank you.
Real quick, my question is this, I agree with the county hikes in taxes because we have to sustain our economy, but at the same time, it's just coming from property taxes. Is there any plan to have renters also kick in to help out the school system, number one? And number two, is there any way that we can bring any more business into the county? Are there any plans to bring any more business into the county? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Raymond. I'll have him answer that question after this commercial break. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We're talking all things Prince George's County with Council Chair Mel Franklin. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking all things Prince George's County tonight with County Council Chairman Mel Franklin. If you have a question or a comment about what's happening in Prince George's County, lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. And I'll ask you to definitely hang on even after 7:30. We will continue to take your phone calls even after we drop WHUR and continue on SiriusXM. Before the break, we were talking to Raymond. He was asking about renters participating in helping to shore up education financially, as well as bringing more businesses into the county.
Great questions. One of the things the county executive proposed was a 4%, which is approximately a 50% increase in the telecommunications tax. And every renter or homeowner, we all pay that telecommunications tax. We reduced that increase to 1%, but that 1% would be paid by folks who are renters, who are homeowners. The other thing with the property is that a 4% increase, even though it's not a large increase, it would go to the owners of an apartment complex, for example. They probably will turn around and pass some of those costs on to their renters. But
what is a telecommunications tax?
So on telecommunication services, which is your phone, which is things of that nature, internet, there is a tax on your telecommunication service. And so it is approximately 8% right now in the county. The county exec proposed to take it to 12%. We reduce that to 9%. And it is created by the state. The state makes mandates that it can only be used for the operating budget of the public schools.
Okay.
Now, to the
business piece.
Very, very important question. So one of the reasons why the council talks a great deal about ending the era of being known as a bedroom community and being thought of now as more of an economic destination, whether it's MGM National Harbor, whether it's trying to attract the FBI headquarters to the county, or building the new state-of-the-art regional medical center, or new Whole Foods and the development in College Park, Riverdale Park, and a whole host of other projects, Brandywine and things of that nature. The reason for that is we're trying to grow our commercial tax base. That is the ultimate answer as to how we sustain ourselves long term in terms of investing in the public schools, investing in public safety. All of the other priorities is growing that commercial tax base. So we're doing that. We're in the process of that, making that happen. It takes some years to unfold. But when that goes well and that you have momentum, then you can start to actually reduce tax rates because you're actually growing your whole assessable base. So you're not taxing residential property at high levels. You're actually relying on a much broader tax base like other jurisdictions.
But
can.
Some would argue that, you know, some of the pushback that the county has received, some would also say not just Prince George's County, but other parts of the state have gotten from the Hogan administration may retard or impede some of the same kinds of development that you're trying to do. The county executive wasn't happy with the response that he got from the governor earlier this year during the legislative session regarding hospital money, for example.
Sure.
And we still do not know what's going to happen with the FBI. And so with all of these things kind of hanging in the balance, how do you tell business come to Prince George's County?
Well, one thing we have to do is be consistent. And that consistency breeds confidence. We have a consistent message. In spite of the disagreement between the council and the county executive on the budget, we've been very consistent and in lockstep when it comes to economic development and creating jobs. So we've been very focused on creating the right incentives, particularly at our transit stations, and reforming our development process to make it faster, more reasonable of a process to deal with. So really, our message to the business community is we're open for business. We're going to give you a consistent process, a consistent message. The governor notwithstanding, the governor actually has been very supportive on the FBI, bringing the FBI, but on the hospital, it's been a bit of a mixed bag. And so we have to move forward as a county government, pushing the projects that we believe are priorities for the county regardless.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going back to the phone lines. Johnny in Capitol Heights, Orlando in Upper Marlboro, Dee in Clinton, Sandra in Capitol Heights. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. Well, of course, the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More of this conversation on Sirius XM 141 in just a bit.